Okay, we are going to conduct the sutta teaching session. We will first pay homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Actually, we started a new sutta that is called Magandhya Sutta. And I'll summarize what we have covered. So basically, Buddha was living in Kuru country and there a village called Kammasa Dhamma. And this is a very popular one where Buddha has delivered very deep suttas like Satipatthana Sutta, Mahanidana Sutta, Ananja Sappaya Sutta. So those are fairly intellectual as well as fairly deep and practice oriented. And those suttas were delivered at this particular place. And this Magandhya Sutta is also delivered at that place. So basically, Buddha was dwelling in Brahmin called Bharadvaja. So this particular Brahmin belongs to the Bharadvaja clan. And he is now staying at the fire chamber of this particular Brahmin. And Buddha was using a grass spread to sat down, and he kept that as it is, so that someone can see it, and this wanderer Magandhya actually noticed that while he was there, and he was inquiring to whom it belongs to, and then this Bharadvaja was telling that it belongs to Buddha. So this Magandhya is not in faith with Buddha, but he is following his whatever the tradition, coming from tradition. And he actually have heard that the Buddha being declaring about the sense restraint, and accordingly in their book he mentioned in their scripts that if someone is talking about sense restraint, it's very much like a destroyer of the growth. Therefore, he makes a kind of a remark about the Buddha. The Pali word is called Bhunahuno. That means the one who is destroying the growth. So he makes this comment in front of Bharadvaja, and Bharadvaja basically opposed that. And he says that the Buddha is well known and well renowned, and don't talk like that. Anyway, this Magandhya was very much stern in that. He says, even in front of the Buddha I can declare the same thing. Anyway, this whole story was heard by the Buddha while he was dwelling in a forest, and after Magandhya left, Buddha arrived, and he is inquiring the same thing from the Bharadvaja. So Bharadvaja was quite astonished knowing that Buddha has heard the whole story. And while this discussion was going on, again Magandhya has returned. Now Buddha directly get into the point, and he is asking. Now particularly he immediately give the answer, and he is asking, is this because of this particular reason that you have called me a destroyer of the growth? Magandhya, the eye delights in forms, takes delight in forms, rejoices in forms that has been tamed by the Tathagata, guarded, protected and restrained. And he teaches the Dhamma for its restraint. Was it with reference to this that you said the recluse Gautama is a destroyer of growth? Now directly Buddha answer, he know exactly why Magandhya has referred. He is now exposing that particular reason and asking from Magandhya, is it the reason that you have called me destroyer of the growth? And he admit, yes, this is the reason I have mentioned that you as a destroyer of the growth, because that is recorded in our scriptures. So one thing is that there are scriptures available. That means the wanderer ascetic scriptures available, and there something has mentioned. And if someone is talking about the sense restraint, it seems like they are against that. But on the other hand, Buddha actually talks about sense restraint in a more detailed manner. So that is very important. So that's why we are going to deal today. So how, to what extent Buddha has discussed, or to what deep depth that he has requested us to follow sense restraint. So that is fairly highlighted in various suttas. So now he is giving a particular point here, Buddha. Actually, he is saying, what do you think, Magandhi? Here, someone may have formally enjoyed himself with forms cognizable by the eye that are wished for, desired, agreeable, and likable, connected with sensual desire and provocative of lust. Now, there are beautiful sights, so everybody likes to see them. So, and they provocate some amount of lust. They are beautiful. And someone actually was enjoying that. And later, by the way, he understood that there's a danger. There's an origin, there's a disappearance, the gratification and the danger. That means samudaya, atthangama, adinava, atthangama, nirodha. So those sides someone has understood. So as a result of that, he abandoned craving. He abandoned craving for forms and remove fever for forms and abide without thirst with a mind inwardly at peace. Now Buddha is asking, what would you say to him, Magandhi? So nothing, Master Gotama. Now basically Buddha now going to explain why he is declaring about sense restraint. Now he is asking another kind of a counter question from the Magandhiya. Basically, if someone has completely abandoned sensual lust to these different forms, sights, and he has internally quenched, internally there is no thirst, internally he is peaceful, if everything is satisfied, so then what are you going to call him? So then Magandhi has no answer. Basically, he says, I have nothing to say. So here, even though they have their scriptures, they haven't, it seems like they haven't deeply thought about it, analyzed it. They simply have accepted it. Simply saying that if someone is talking about restrainment, not gratifying the senses, then it's very much like against the growth. So typically the growth, even in today's terms, today even if we look at the kind of development, and why we call a particular country a first world country, a developed country. And there is a significant portion given to this kind of gratification of the senses. So typically if someone is capable of gratifying their eye, anything they can look at, very beautiful sights they can look at, easily they can approach that. And very beautiful songs or music they can enjoy. So likewise the nose, the tongue, so everything is available. So all the different hotels and everything is available. So they can gratify their senses as much as possible. So then we can call it is a wealthy country. A kind of a wealthy country. So that they can basically enjoy their senses. By the way, Buddha is talking something different. That is very much like he talks about sense restraint, where even though the possibility is available, even though the capability is available, he is not very much inviting everyone to look at whatever is available or hear whatever is available. Rather maintain some kind of a restraint. So this is something we need to understand. It is included in the sila, in the morality. So there are four types of morality. Okay, so basically, so when Buddha is declaring that, it is due to reasons that he is talking, And if we are simply continuing to gratify senses, and it causes the mind to get agitated, again get defiled, so it would be quite difficult for the yogi to again kind of purify one's mind, because again and again he is defiling, again and again he is polluting the mind. So then there won't be an end. So in the other hand, if someone is taking care of what we are taking inside, so that is very much important. So that is fairly highlighted at some other places. So let me share with you some other information where Buddha explained that. Now this is coming in the Dhammapada. Chakkuna sangvaro sadhu, sadhu sotena sangvaro. Ghanena sangvaro sadhu, sadhu jivhaya sangvaro. Kayena sangvaro sadhu, sadhu vachaya sangvaro. Manasa sangvaro sadhu, sadhu sabbatta sangvaro. Sabbatta sangvuto bhikkhu, sabbadukkha pamuchyati. Now this is Dhammapada bhikkhu vagga. So where Buddha, one by one, each faculty he is mentioned. Chakkuna sangvaro sadhu, you got to restrain your eye. Sotena sangvaro sadhu, you got to restrain your ear. Ghanena sangvaro sadhu, you got to restrain your nose. Sadhu jivhaya sangvaro, you got to restrain your tongue. Kayena sangvaro sadhu, you got to restrain your body. Sadhu vachaya sangvaro, you got to restrain your words. Manasa sangvaro sadhu, you got to restrain your mind. Sadhu sabbata sangvaro, everywhere you got to restrain. Sabbata sangvuto bhikkhu sabbadukkha pamuchyati. And he mentioned, whoever see the danger of the samsara, he is actually restraining himself everywhere, and he is the one who is capable of being free from all suffering. Sabbata sangvaro bhikkhu sabbadukkha pamuchyati. Now we can see how Buddha's teaching some extent going against the typical gratification, the pleasure principle. Now, so that's why we need to understand about the restraint. It comes as an indriya sangvara, one kind of sila that the yogi has to maintain. Because nowadays actually things are quite easily available. One can easily look at whatever he wants using a handheld phone, and one can switch on the TV, and these facilities were not available about say 50 years ago. But now these things are quite abundant. Now as a result of that, it is easily one can pollute one's mind. Even though we say this is a kind of a technological advancement, we need to understand if we are not kind of careful, easily we can pollute our mind. Say you are trying to meditate, and before meditating, if you are going through a movie and you are watching a movie which is quite exciting, and all the different kinds of fights and atrocities are shown, so you get really agitated. And after that, if you go to sit, and all those scenes, all those fights might come to your mind. So basically, it would be quite difficult for you to calm down. But on the other hand, if you are trying to maintain certain amount of restraint without polluting your mind, agitating your mind, so basically that would be helpful, because during the meditation, during the mindfulness practice, you need certain amount of restraint. So that's why Buddha has mentioned in Satipatthana Sutta, Atapi. Atapi means that you are maintaining an ardent effort, which is abandoning defilements. And on the other hand, it is mentioned, Vinaya Loke Abhijja Domanasa. About the world, one may have certain amount of covetousness, certain amount of despair. So that has to be abandoned. So that means one's mind have to be maintained as much as possible in a clean, peaceful manner. Then it will be more conducive for one's growth. So we can see how difficult that one has to do this as a layperson. That's why some people actually become monks and nuns, so that the restraint would be easy. But on the other hand, even today, monks and nuns can access internet and all the other facilities. All the facilities have come to the monastery. So there's a higher possibility that even they can pollute their minds even while at the monastery. So everything is widely available. So that's why we are talking about various facilities. So to what extent we need the facilities? Are we mindful of when we are using these facilities? Or are we simply ignorant and simply allow the faculties to enjoy themselves as much as possible? So these are interesting points that we can think of, because there won't be anyone coming after us checking or testing whether we are exactly following the precepts. So in a way, we have undertaken precepts on our own will. It is not that someone has imposed these precepts. So as kind of a mature agreement, so we have understood their importance, their validity or benefit. As a result of that, we have undertaken that. So that's why we need to be fairly careful, and on the other hand, fairly mature in how we are dealing in this spiritual path. And there are other suttas like, say, Samanya Phala Sutta, where Buddha highlights how when one is actually looking at something. Now, even though we are talking about sense restraint, so we can't keep our eyes closed. We can't keep our ears closed. Nose, tongue, body. So those, we can't every time avoid everything. There are possibilities that we may go through different sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and tangibles. On that occasion, actually Buddha recommends kind of a restraint even when you are looking at things. Rupang diswa na nimittak gahi ho, di nanu vyanjanak gahi. Now, here actually, idea is that you see the object. Object was seen, but you are not taking any signs of that. You are not taking any signs, marks. If you are continuing to take signs and marks, it can cause to agitate the mind. So we are simply glancing in that sense. So you are simply seeing. You might have recognized, but not too much involved, not too closely looking at these signs and marks. In case you do that, again the defilements can cause. Yattva adhikarana metang chakkhuindriyang asangutang viharantang abhijja domanassa papaka kusala dhamma anvasa veyum. So if you are not maintaining this sort of a restraint, so all those covetousness and the greed and domanassa means despair, so all those can again arise, again can attack the mind. Tassa sangvaraya patipajyati rakkati chakvindriyan chakvindriye sangvarang apajyati. So therefore Buddha highlights, so you are maintaining kind of a restraint here, talking about the eye, because otherwise unarisen taints, unarisen defilements can arise. Currently the mind may be peaceful, but if you are not careful, if you are simply careless and not maintaining sense restraint, so your mind get affected. So that's the point. Now similarly, Buddha highlights about the other faculties. Even the mind, manena sangvaro sadhu, that means dhammang nyatva na nimittak gahi hoti nanubyanjanak gahi. So when a kind of a mental object appears in the mind, if you are too closely going to look at it, if you get deluded by it, then again you are promoting that particular way of thinking. It doesn't mean that you are not mindful about what is going on in the mind. You have to be mindful. But to which side are we going to give the kind of a reinforcement? If assume that there is a kind of a lustful thought arisen in the mind, so it promotes some kind of a delight. So if we are very much interested in that delight, then we may add another lustful thought. We may think about a lustful object. We may think about a kind of a lustful incident happened, or sight what we have seen. So now we are promoting lust in the mind, because we are more and more adding that food. Ultimately, the mind gets overwhelmed by lust. But assume that we have noticed lust, but we know the danger. At that time, slowly, if we are skillfully abandon that lustful thought by being mindful, then that peacefulness available in the mind was retained. It is not very much like contaminated. So the peacefulness is retained. So it's in a way a very careful practice. So we can't say that someone else can do it for us. So we have to be completely responsible. So that's why Buddha mentioned that we'll refer that sutta again at the next time, in a moment. If we are trying to delight with something, then Buddha say you are going for a downfall. Anyway, interestingly here in the Samanyapala Sutta, Buddha talks about some sort of a happiness you derive through this sense restraint. So, imina ariyena indriya sangvarena samannagato ajjattam abhyaseka sukam parisamvedeti. Now, this is a very interesting point. Ajjattam abhyaseka sukam parisamvedeti. That means this is not that you become kind of dry and dull and feel utterly bored. Rather, when you are maturing in this practice, Buddha say, ajjattam abhyaseka sukham patisamvedeti. You start recognizing a very soft, very subtle happiness derived by not being affected by defilements. So when the defilements are again and again inflicting the mind, so it gets agitated, it gets kind of repulsed, and again and again it gets polluted. So that peacefulness is not sort of sustained. Peacefulness is again and again disturbed. But on the other hand, if you are able to maintain kind of a peacefulness for a long time, unbroken, continuous peacefulness, so that peacefulness starts retaining in the mind. For a long time, you can maintain an undefiled mind, a pure mind. Otherwise, what happens? You maintain pure mind, kind of a clean mind for 10 minutes. Again, you start enjoying something, and as a result of that, again, mind gets agitated. Again, you are trying to establish mindfulness, and again, trying to maintain peacefulness. Again, you heard something and you are interested, and again, mind gets agitated. Again, you are trying to calm down and maintain peacefulness. Again, something you say, you taste something and you really got delighted with that, and as a result of that, again mind get involved and ignorantly behaved. Again, you are trying to maintain peacefulness. So you can see a kind of a break, a kind of a intermittent disturbances, interruptions. So we can see then, I mean, it's quite difficult for us to come to a continuity. Continuity in the purity of the mind. Because again and again, due to the lack of sense restraint, mind get corrupted. So here Buddha mentioned, if one is maintaining a continuous sense restraint, so that means you are promoting the continuous peacefulness inside. Internally you are quite satisfied, internally you are contented, internally you are peaceful for a longer period of time. Then only you may start feeling it. Otherwise, this intermittent peacefulness might not have a big impact on the mind. But on the other hand, if one is able to maintain a long peacefulness in the mind, a long peace is available. Now, there's another separate sutta entirely dedicated on Indriya Sangvara, that means the sense restraint. The name is also given as Indriya Sangvara Sutta, which is in the Anguttara Nikaya, Chakkanipata. So there Buddha mentioned what is Indriya Sangvara and what is not Indriya Sangvara. And there actually he is explaining about a kind of a relationship between this Indriya Sangvara and the complete realization. So I'll take the basically the positive part, there he mentioned indriya sangvare bhikkave sati, indriya sangvara sampannassa upanisa sampannam hoti silam. Now this is how he describes the flow, the kind of the causal growth in one's mind. So one is maintaining indriya sangvara, one is maintaining what we call the sense restraint. As a result of that, he is capable of maintaining sila. Indriya sangvara is there, as a result of that, he is having sila. Now, we know that the indriya sangvara is part of the sila. You know that there are four categories of sila mentioned for monks, nuns: indriya sangvara sila, patimokkha sangvara sila, pachye parigraha, pachye sannisita sila, and again the ajiva parishuddha sila. So that means indriya sangvara sila, the sense restraint, and then patimokkha sangvara sila, there are set of precepts that one has to adhere, the restraint in that, and then what we call there's another pachye sannisita sila. So when you are using different kinds of requisites, you have to reflect on them. So as a result of that, you are maintaining the clarity of the mind, the purity of the mind. And the ajiva parishuddha sila, that is where one is maintaining good livelihood, correct livelihood. So likewise, there are four categories in sila. So Buddha mentioned here, highlighting about the indriya sangvara, sense restraint, and he says, if one is maintaining sense restraint, the whole sila has a great impact, a great benefit. So the sila has a strong foundation. Sile sati sila sampannassa upanisa sampannam hoti samma samadhi. So now Buddha say samma samadhi. So when one has sila, that means the morality, then only one can have proper samadhi. Samma samadhim hi sati, samma samadhi sampannassa upanisa sampannam hoti yathabhuta jnana dassana. So then only yathabhuta jnana dassana, seeing things as they truly are, your insights knowledge. So we are practicing vipassana, but how these insight knowledges are very much come to rise, that is because we have certain amount of concentration. So that concentration reveals the true nature of various phenomena. So at that level, concentration is the function of the concentration is that revealing the true nature. So as a result of that, one is capable of having proper understanding. And yathabhuta jnana dassane sati, yathabhuta dassana sampannas upanisa sampanno hoti nibbida virago. Now as a result of that, nibbida and virago going to arise, disenchantment and the dispassion going to arise, because you see the truth, you see the true nature of all the phenomena. And nibbida virage sati, nibbida virage sampannas upanisa sampanno hoti vimutti jnana dassana. So that means there's a very profound understanding which is capable of releasing the mind, liberating the mind. So that vision one may have only when dispassion and disenchantment is available. So this is a very interesting causal chain like reaction here Buddha mentioned. So indriya sangvara, sense restraint, very much acts here as the foundation, and then as a result of that, one can maintain the morality. When morality is available, one can maintain proper samadhi, concentration, and when proper samadhi is available, one can have thorough understanding about the true nature, insights are available. When that is available, one is not very much getting deluded, rather one have the thorough understanding. So that understanding leads to disenchantment and dispassion. Now one is not sort of passionate about things. One is not very much carried away by things. Rather, one has a thorough understanding about the true nature of things. As a result of that, there is no attachment or grasping. As a result of that, slowly things are abandoned. So, as a result of that, vimutti jnana dasana, so that means the mind gets released. So, when the mind gets released, again, the same thing actually one has to maintain, the same cycle. So, assume that now the mind has released. One maintains a certain amount of temporary liberation. So, that has to be abandoned. That has to be sort of consolidated. So even for that, this Indriya Sangvara is necessary. As a result of that, one now maintain morality. Morality leads to a Samma Samadhi, but at a different level. Here we are not talking about focused attention into the Samma Samadhi, rather kind of a wide openness in the mind. So the mind has completely opened. It's quite vivid. Whatever a little thing appears in the mind, it's vividly visible. So the Samma Samadhi at this level, not that you are focusing onto a very narrow phenomena, rather since the mind is quite clear, cleansed, whatever the defilement, whatever the objects, mental phenomena are easily visible, it is easily noticeable. So as a result of that, you can see the true nature, Yathabhuta Jnana Dasana, this true nature is easily understood. Because every phenomena is properly visible in the mind. And as a result of that, further Nibbida Viraga going to arise. More and more disenchantment, more and more dispassion going to be available. As a result of that, again mind get released, again the liberation is achieved. So you are very much like reinforcing the available liberation, available freedom of the mind. It's very much like a process that one has to continue. Now, here in these suttas, Buddha actually highlights the importance of the Indriya Sangvara for this whole process. Now, Sangvara Sutta. So, this is another interesting one which I have just highlighted in the previous discussion, where Buddha mentioned the two sides, Sangvara and Asangvara, the kind of restrainment as well as the not restrainment. Kind of carelessness. So here, important thing is, Buddha mentioned, Santi bhikkave chakkuvenyaya rupa itthakanta manapa piya rupa kamupa sanghita rajaniya. Tanche bhikkhu abhinandati abhivadati ajjosaya tittati. Now these points are the most important thing. Now, there are beautiful sights. Chakkuvinyaya rupa, itta, kanta, manapa, piyarupa, kamupa, sanghita, rajaniya. So Buddha very much like explained them. So those beautiful sights are something that we really like. Those are really favorable. And we delight in seeing them. We really love to see them. And kamupa, sanghita. And they actually promote sensuality. And as a result of that, it promotes defilements, rajaniya. So mind get defiled. They are beautiful, so we like to see them. So we are going to see them, we are enjoying them, become delight about them. Again, mind get entangled. They are promoting kind of sensuality, sensual desires. Now the mind become very much like colored, conditioned. Why? Because we abhinandati abhivadati ajjosaya tittati. So we were kind of delighted when we are seeing them. We welcome them as we are seeing them. Ajjosaya tittati, so we were very much adhere to them when we are seeing them. That means we completely lost our freedom, completely lost our sort of unconditioned nature of the mind, rather mind become completely conditioned. Mind become completely bewildered because completely involved, indulging. Now here, the interesting point Buddha mentioned here, Veditabha metam bhikkave bhikkhuna parihayami kusalehi dhammehi. పరిహాయామి కుశలేహి దమ్మేహి పరిహానమే పరి పరిహానం హేతం బుత్తం భగవతాతి. నౌ ఐ ఆమ్ ఇన్ ద డౌన్ సైకిల్ ఆఫ్ డౌన్ ఫాల్. బుద్ధ హ్యాస్ వార్న్ హియర్, బుద్ధ హ్యాస్ మెన్షన్, నౌ యు ఆర్ ఇన్ ద డౌన్ ఫాల్. నౌ దిస్ అ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ అ సిట్యువేషన్ దట్ వన్ ఈస్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టు సార్ట్ ఆఫ్ వార్న్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్. Because when we are seeing something, there is a possibility that we are seeing a very beautiful sight. So we get really attached to that. We get attracted to that. And now we are delighted with that. And now we are adhered to that. At that moment, if we can remember this point, the warning given by the Buddha, Parihayami kusalehi dhammehi. So even though now I am enjoying this sensual desire, sensual pleasure, I am in the decline of the skillfulness. Skillfulness in the whatever the spiritual qualities. Suppose that you have practiced so hard. In the morning you wake up at 4 a.m. and you practice for 1 hour walking, another 1 hour sitting, and everything is very peaceful, you are maintaining very peaceful abiding, and after that you heard a beautiful music, you being attracted to that, it's a really beautiful song. Now you are switching on the say radio and you are listening to that, you remember whole thing, now you are involved in that, you are enjoying that, delighted with that music. And at that moment, can we remember that Buddha has mentioned something like this? Parihayami kusalehi dhammehi. So I was meditating, my mind was peaceful. That peacefulness is a kind of a soft, delicate kind of peacefulness. But now, as a result of this music, mind has become grossed. Mind has become colored. Mind has become conditioned. Mind has become involved. All that previous subtle, delicate peacefulness has gone. Mind is again in a kind of a mental, or what we can call as a kind of a imagined world. You are enjoying music, maybe a song. That song may be depicting a kind of a story. You are imagining that story. Assume that it's a love song. And that love song may be depicting maybe a kind of a romance between two and their love story and whatever the thing. You start imagining all that. So all different kind of, say, signs, marks come to your mind. And different kinds of imaginations are now prepared in your mind. And mind get occupied with various signs and stains. The clarity of mind is gone. So basically the clarity of mind is not available now. Mind becomes fully crowded. So here we need to remember, Buddha has mentioned, okay, veditabba metam bhikkave bhikkhuna parihayami kusalehi dhammehi. Parihana metam uttam bhagavatati. Now we are in the downfall. So we worked hard to purify the mind, but unfortunately I was careless. Again mind become completely bewildered, completely defiled, again indulging with sensual desires. Now here, actually we can see, it is not while on the cushion that we are practicing this. While on the cushion, maybe we are maintaining fair amount of sense restraint. We are quite diligent. But the parihayami, this downfall, happens at other occasions. So that means we have to be keep on guard at all other occasions. Say you are in the supermarket. While traveling or going through in the supermarket, there are beautiful things, attractive things. Everything is nicely wrapped and everything is inviting you to buy. So are you going to buy everything? Are you going to sort of go through the consumerization? How much are you going to spend? How much are you going to imagine? So all these things are possible. And while you are traveling through the city, maybe a beautiful cinema has come, a musical show is available. So many other interesting stuff are available. So if we are going to go through them, so again we are in a downfall. So three interesting points highlighted here by the Buddha: abhinandati, abhivadati, ajjo sayatittati. So these are very subtle changes happen in the mind. So mind was in a very peaceful, delicate state. Abhinandati means again you become delighted. Again mind got really agitated. Abhivadati, you welcome that. So typically the possibility is that once this sort of agitation happen, if you have noticed that, if you are mindful about it, so there's a possibility that you are able to escape from that, or you can revert back to that peacefulness, as mentioned in the Indriya Bhavana Sutta. But unfortunately, abhivadati, instead of abandoning that, you welcome that. So you start continuing that. You start delighted with that. Now you, ajjosayatittati, now you are adhered to that. You are trapped in it. Tangled in it. That means you have lost the mindfulness. You lost the freedom. Again, mind become conditioned, colored. So there is no freedom. So now it's in the downfall. So that's why we need to practically see this situation, how again and again we get into this trap. We were able to assume that we were able to release the mind, maintain a kind of a peaceful, a simple kind of mind. But how often are we agitating the mind? How often are we contaminating the mind? How often are we caught off, trapped in whatever the sensual desires? To each time, we get again and again go through a kind of a downfall. So that's why we need to see how practical is our practice. How much diligent in our practice. How much careful are we in our practice. Now, as a final thing I like to add here is the one interesting point highlighted in the Sabbasava Sutta. So there Buddha mentioned Asava Sangvara Pahatabba. So there are defilements. Here particularly about the taints, influxes, they can be abandoned by restraint. The bhikkhave bhikkhu parisankhayonuso chakku indriya sanguto viharati. Yanghissa bhikkhave chakku indriya asangutam. Asangutas viharato. Uppanjayyang asava vigata parilaha. Chakku indriya sangvarang sangutas viharato. Evansate asava vigata parilaha na honti. So basically, when one is maintaining sense restraint, that you are well protected, but otherwise, again and again, mind get defiled. As a result of that, those influxes get reinforced. Influxes become further and further strengthened. So if we want to abandon influxes, if we want to weaken influxes, so there Buddha mentioned now there's a huge role played by the sense restraint. So that is highlighted as one method in the Sabbasava Sutta. So this is how we can see to at different levels Buddha actually has highlighted the Indriya Sanghara. So we can see at a one level he say, okay, you don't look at those unnecessary defiling kind of things. Try to protect your senses, try to guard your senses, and that is one level. And if you see them, so don't look at the marks, don't go through all the details, features, because if you go through that, again you further defile your mind. So that is another level. And then Buddha mentioned how this whole a proper maintenance of the Indriya Sanghara is leading to a sort of a very soft happiness available in oneself, a kind of peacefulness, a lasting peacefulness in oneself. And again highlights how this is actually causing or promoting release in the mind, liberation in the mind, a kind of a paticca-samuppanna process, a conditioned process. it is actually acts like the foundation of this whole benefit. And then he is mentioning how one can get again and again entangled in this whole communication, eye with the forms, ear with the say sounds, nose with the smells, tongue with the taste, body with the tangibles, and the mind with the mind objects. When that comes into contact, how one can break the mark or break the limit and can again get delighted, again get involved, again get attached, again get grasped, adhere to it, now one in the downfall. That warning. And on the other hand, even in the deep practice, Buddha has highlighted its importance even at the level of abandoning influxes, abandoning asavas. Okay, I think we have covered a fair amount of points with respect to Indriya Samvara. We came through this in the Magandhya Sutta. And with that, I'd like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I'd like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. If we have any new friends joining us for the first time, you can participate in the Q&A by raising your hand or sending them through the chat.
Everybody is maintaining noble silence.
Okay, Geshan, welcome to ask the first question.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Venerable. So I thought I will break the noble silence and ask the question. So this may not pertaining to today's talk. I think it was yesterday when I was listening to the Venerable Dharmaji, and I think you and having this conversation, and I may not be able to sort of articulate point to point, but I'll try to give the sort of context as well, and then maybe get some type of answer as what I'm searching for. So I think the concept comes from, you have a subject and the high consciousness is present, and then so you have the eye consciousness and the subject. So tinnan sangati passo, the phenomenon comes into this place, and through that it generates the passa, which is, and then and it goes on into several other layers of it as well. So while I was listening, I was thinking about what does this all, this not sort of applies to one if there is no I, per se, or maybe for if you don't have the ear, at some point in time you had you are visible, you know, you had the eyes and you are visible, now you don't have it, but you might have the, you know, the past memory piece, but that doesn't mean that what you're seeing the subject, and you sort of go into multiple other layers of it. So my question is this, tinnan sangati passo, the phenomenon is the three subjects need to be there all the time in order to go to several other layers, but what if it is not one person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the, yeah, I can agree. So that's why, so it's quite compulsory to have all these three. That means the eye form and the eye consciousness. Actually, eye consciousness is a product of joining this eye and the form. When eye and form comes in line, now the possibility of eye consciousness. But the point is that this whole process repeats. So as a result of that, again and again, repetitive, successive you know, that meeting causes these three to come together, and ultimately we perceive it as sort of a contact. So there, that's why it is mentioned as passapanyatti, so as a kind of a concept. Now that leads to vedana, that leads to the feelings, then the what we call the recognition, or the recognition, and then the thinking, and ultimately to the papancha, to the proliferation. Now all that follows are actually very much like concepts, and it is more evident at the prapancha level, at the conceptual proliferation level. But even at the early stages, so according to this sutta, even the contact is considered as a concept. Passapanyatti. Passapanyatti means that one can establish contact. So the contact happens as a result of a cause. Now how about not happening a contact? So that passa nirodha, so the cessation of the contact. So these are actually very subtle and deep points. So how one can achieve passa nirodha? So the cessation of contact. Does that mean that one is simply closing one's eyes? Does it mean that one can't see things at all? Or you become completely unconscious? These things are sometimes discussed in certain suttas, where Buddha mentioned chakkuncha nirujjati rupa sanyacha virajjati se ayatane veditabbe. Chakkuncha nirujjati, so your eye becomes seized, and the perception of the sight becomes slowly abandoned, slowly virajjati, that means slowly become discolored and ultimately abandoned. And at that moment you got to know what's the state of the mind. Now this is actually a fair interesting area of the vipassana. So while your eyes are open, while your ears are wide open, nose, tongue, body, mind, so all the faculties are wide open, but still there's a possibility that they are not functioning as a type of an ayatana, a kind of a promoting thinking, promoting any kind of further diversification, or promoting kind of thinking proliferation. Rather they become sort of quiet, internally quenched, and all their corresponding objects, forms, then the sounds, smells, taste, tangibles, and the thoughts, they slowly abandon, they become discolored, and they completely relinquish from the mind. Now you are coming to a state, so mind remains still. Mind remains calm. Mind remains peaceful, even though eyes are open, even though ears are wide open, even though nose, tongue, body, mind are wide open, mind become peaceful. Mind becomes still. So this, and mind is not involved. So actually this is the state of the arahant's mind, actually. Amissi kata mevasa chittang hoti, titang, vipamuttang, vayanchasaunu passati. As mentioned in certain suttas. So mind is not mixed with these objects now. It maintains its clarity. It is maintaining its stability. Maintaining its undefiled, unstained, or stainless type of purity. So that's a very interesting phenomena, happens in one's mind. So even though you hear, even though you see, smells, tasting, everything's going on, still mind is capable of maintaining its unity, or its sort of its clarity, uninvolved nature. Amissi kata mevasa chittang hoti. Mind not get mixed up with all that sense impingements. Titang, so it has found its stillness. Anenjappattang, so it's maintaining its stability. Vayanjassanupasati, and probably one can see how these all sense impingements come and go, arise and passing away. So it's a very interesting state. So I feel actually this is what talking here that all senses are available, but they are at a different state. Mind is at a very quenched state, a very satisfied state, unagitated state, a kind of peaceful state, uninvolved state. What do you think?
Yes, I totally agree, and I really like the way you sort of brought to that answer which I seek for. And the moment you start this the sermon, and I was thinking, you know, this sermon is just for me, because there are certain times I feel that a certain type of a thought arises in my mind, and then I question, should I act on it or should I not? And there are certain times that I suppress it simply because, and then there are times that it just let me keep on going on with that the thought itself.
Mm-hmm.
So the discussion today was purely how to restrain, and that itself can find the type of salvation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really enjoy, and time to time I have to keep myself reminding that as well. This is how we need to sort of get to the right state.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for your clarity and the answer. I really appreciate and I agree with you.
Okay. Yeah. So this is something actually we all have to do, not only you, even myself.
Sure.
So I found sometimes certain thoughts are coming, and I like to think about it, and so I am thinking again, mind get involved, again mind get somewhat going through certain amount of thinking. At one point I have to apply brakes, again come back to sort of the clarity of the mind. So similar thing can happen to the sight, sound, smells, taste, tangibles, because on certain occasions actually we are very much guarding ourselves. But certain other times, there may be a little recklessness, there may be a little certain amount of carelessness, and we are not so concerned about the purity of the mind. We are a little careless. So we allow the mind to get corrupted. So that is where we need to remember that Buddha has mentioned, okay, now you are in the downfall. It's a kind of a warning. As a teacher, he has given us, reminding us, you can do that, you can go through this cycle, but you are in the downfall, so you have to pay for that. So very, very interesting how like a father, how like a teacher, he's advising us. So when you are go through that delighting, when you are go through that welcoming, you are go through that adherence, that type of cycle, again you are in the downfall. So that's why, I mean, it's a kind of a very kind of going against the grain. So mind is yearning for that. Mind is yearning for that sort of a sensual happiness. So we can't immediately get out of all the sensual desires. So these sensual desires are promoting certain amount of a delight in the mind. So we may get carried away by that. But again, we need to understand the pay, need to understand the sort of the danger. So how much I have put my effort on meditation, how much I have dedicated into the practice, so how much I have sort of determined to do that, now I am in the downfall. Now I am going against that. So now I have to again sort of establish mindfulness, come back to senses, and very much like develop sense restraint. Again, try to purify the mind. Okay, now back in the freedom. It's a kind of a process that we all have to go through.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Chita Devi for the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bhante, my question really is quite straightforward, but I just like to clarify that I mean this the restraining of the senses in its fullest is only done by the Arhat. Would that be right if I said that?
When one becomes an Arahant, he don't need to worry about it because everything is done. That the sense restraint is for us.
Yes.
Sense restraint is for us, not for Arahants. Because Arahant is considered as an Aseka because he's no defilements. So as a result of that, he has a special skill, special capability. If he wants, actually, he has the complete governability of these sense objects. That's an interesting point.
That was my question. By the time you become an Arahant, then you don't have to worry about all these restraining and all, because you have now gone through all of that. But in our cases, obviously we have to be on our guard.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to point out, and I like to like your opinion, is that sometimes one does. One goes into you said those three stages, no, where the Nanda Raga, and then you go into the, you accept it, and then Ekara Besagannawa. So that's the third stage.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you come to that level and then you realize it, then that is also not a bad thing. No,
definitely. I mean, once you realize it only, you have a sort of escape. You can come out of that.
Because Lokuhamdro used to always say that we mustn't be too harsh with ourselves. So even if we, even at that late stage, we realize it, then we have to be gentle with ourselves and say, well, at least at this stage, we have able to restrain it, even though it's a bit late, but better late than never.
Yes, definitely. That's the point. Actually, the mindfulness is still capable of applying brakes. Now, it's at different stages that we are applying brakes. Say, for example, at a very early stage, one can apply brakes. At another level, one can apply brakes. And when things collapse, also one can apply brakes too late. But still, applying brakes will avoid promoting further defilements, further hindrances. You still have the possibility of recovery.
Yes. And I like you to give your opinion, but I feel that even when we do small things in a small way, I think we also have to, because we are going against the grain, we have to tell ourselves, well, we did something that was a good thing, even if it was a small restraint. Don't you think we have to encourage ourselves, because nobody from outside is coming to say, and because we are human beings and going through a rigorous against the grain, don't you think we also have to acknowledge little things that we were able to overcome?
Definitely. Actually, we have to, in that sense, very much like a child. Say, when child is doing something good, if we appreciate only, he is quite recognized. And he understood, okay, this is the proper thing. My mother has praised me. My daddy has praised me. My teacher has praised me. I better do the same thing again because they have praised me. That appreciation,
exactly.
That appreciation plays a good, vital role, because otherwise the mind, mind get always, very much like deprived and dry, and there is no any kind of motivation.
Exactly. I think that is very important. When we are practicing this Dhamma, because all the time otherwise self-mortification is there in the background, and people, I try to avoid it, but people are very strict with themselves, and they want to deprive themselves of everything. And I think as a layperson, obviously, sometimes we can't do those things because we are in family life, and we can't just be depriving ourselves of everything and being so dull and boring.
Yes.
So sometimes we have to join with the family, and we haven't we have to do that part, and I think that is our duty as a parent. So as husbands and wives and whatever else, that we are playing the role, you know, and in workplaces and whatever else. So I think that we have to remember that also, without having this self-mortification ideas all the time in our minds.
Correct. I fully agree with that. So that's why it's a kind of a reinforcement. So your practice start retaining with you. It is not that you can immediately do that, by the way. So certain amount of seclusion is required, and that amount depends on how deep you have practiced. So if you have practiced to a very higher level, so your impact or your influence is so powerful. So others' influence can't mitigate your advancement, can't mitigate or influence you, because you are in a fairly good position. You have already made an island. So those floods can't go through you, overwhelm you, because you already have established yourself. But on the other hand, certain other people who are simply, say, simply started, so there's a fair chance that again they collapse. They have to go through that again and again, you know, going through the mistakes, doing various falls, again rising up. That sort of a cycle, unavoidable in a way, because at the beginning we are very weak, all the defilements, the hindrances are so powerful, and so as a result of that, there's a higher chance that those involvements can make us again collapsed.
Yes, but the thing is, when we meditate, we do go into the states where the sixth sense bases are very well controlled, the five hindrances are not there. So we have experienced this a very beautiful state. Isn't that right, Pankaj?
Yes. So that would be the motivation, that even though you again collapse, you still have a kind of a eagerness, yearning coming from the mind. Okay, why don't you try it again? Why don't you try it again? So that sort of an inner request may come back. So you are again motivated to do it again.
Because we have experience in retreats, situations at home when we have been meditating deeply. We have actually experienced that state where there is nothing, all this, you know, all the six sense bases. Then we have given the conditions for them to be very still, and the five hindrances fully controlled. So we have realized, we have understood, we have experienced it. We have first-hand information. Isn't that right?
Yes. It is not that you simply believe someone, but rather you yourself have experienced it, even though it is temporary, even though you have lost it right now. But you still have that experience. So that's why it appears like a motivation for you. Even though you have made a mistake and you lost that, still there's a possibility that to regain that.
And it's only it is only temporary anyway, no, Bhante? I mean, most of the time now we are learning to have sense restraint, but not always, obviously, because we are in this world. We are in the normal world, you know, but I think that we have to do it slowly at our own pace, and commend ourselves when we do something that, you know, is positive, and when we have done a negative thing, even if we realize it a bit later on, we still have to be happy.
And
I think that we have to put those things, a lot of joy in our practice, Bhante.
Yeah, definitely, I can agree with you that we need to put a lot of joy in our practice. But on the other hand, actually, all this actually depends on the person. That's why even during the Buddha's time, there are certain monks, they are really on guard. They are really vigilant. They know exactly what's really going on. So they didn't take long time to get fully realized. But certain others, you know, they took long time because they can't cut through very quickly. They are giving certain amount of time and, you know, go through some analysis, thinking about it. And certain doubts are there to clarify. Discussions are required. So they take another time, more time. But certain others, they need even more time. They are going through a lot of, you know, sensual happiness and time, a little bit of time for meditation. Again, go through certain amount of sensual desires, things. Probably, maybe. Closer to the end, probably they might have go through or not. sometimes not being able to go through. So it depends on the person, how much are we appamada, how much are we maintain the diligence. So that's why the path is available.
Right,
so the path is available, but how much are we dedicated? It depends on all of us.
Yes, Bhante, that's right. But as lay people, we don't have the. I mean, we know there are situations that are beyond our control, and you know, we have to go through that also peacefully. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Yeah, because we are lay people, we are family people, you know, we have commitments, we have and duties also, you know.
Yes.
but we are still doing it, Bhante.
Exactly.
We are still doing it. So
yeah.
That's the most important thing, no?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to get discouraged that yes. thinking that it's quite
that's
difficult.
Right.
Yeah. That this is these things are impossible to do, you need to become a monk to do that. So it is not the case. Rather, even the person is still being a lay person, still have the caliber, still have the capacity, still to do the practice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to invite Kumudini for the next question.
Hello, Bhante. Thank you, Jennifer. Tirumasarnai Bhante. My question is actually relating to this, but I have heard you were saying that the arahants and they don't feel, the senses don't, they don't take it in. But I have heard that Buddha has very acute senses, like when he tastes something, he can get the taste.
Yes.
I'm trying to get at is, it's that they don't crave it. Isn't that what it is, Mahante?
Yes.
I just need a little clarification.
Their
senses act very, very well.
Exactly.
But
so I didn't want to say that.
Minds.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't want to say that Arahant's senses are inactive. They are quite active.
Yeah.
Interesting thing, as you properly mentioned, is that there are no defilements. As a result of that, even those they... know the taste, even though they know the sight or the sound, smell, taste and everything, so their mind get undefiled because no defilements are available.
Right.
Very much. So
right.
That's why
it's not
so,
like
that's why I mean even
you know,
yeah
sorry Bhante, go ahead.
Yeah, with regard to the Buddha, so it is very clearly mentioned while he is having meals, so it is clearly mentioned that he can recognize all the delicious tastes. Important thing is his mind is not defiled, not going through any greed.
Yes.
But the senses are fully operative.
Right.
Yeah.
I am very glad you clarified that, Bhante.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it would seem as though all the sense organs are not functioning, but they are. But it's just the defilements are not arisen in an arahant, or somebody who is trying to get into the path is also trying to, restrain these things.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right, Bhante?
Yeah. So basically, that's why.
That's what I want to clarify.
Yeah. Now, even in the Magandhya Sutta, so Buddha highlights that, telling that, he has seen the. What we call the release, the nisarana, and that craving and all that is abandoned, now internally abide without thirst, with the mind inwardly at peace. Now, I'll repeat that answer to Magandhya, having understood as they actually are the origin, the disappearance, the gratification, the danger, and the escape in the case of forms, he might abandon craving for forms, remove fever for forms, and abide without thirst with a mind inwardly at peace.
Right.
So.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. So internally he is maintaining kind of a peacefulness, but the senses are fully operative. The taste, forms and everything they can recognize, but internally peacefulness is retained.
Unlike us.
So our minds go through kind of ripples and oscillations, agitations, But their minds are, you know, they can maintain that undefiled, unentangled kind of a nature.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
That was what I wanted to clarify, because, you know, thank you. Tervan Saranai, Bhante. Yeah, much appreciate your Dhamma talks and everything.
Okay. Tervan Saranai.
Tervan Saranai.
Are there any questions on your side, Bhante?
No questions from this side. Okay, I think then we can wind up the session since there are no questions. So today also we were able to spend about 1.5 hours discussing Buddha's various suttas and all the merits what we have accumulated. Let's share with all the celestial beings, all past relatives and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, nibbana. We'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummatta deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummatta deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummatta deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparam. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.